Oh my God, do you remember me? I mean, of course you do, because how can you forget me? Okay, how could you forget the one and only? I know you've been hungry because it's been so long. I know you're just malnourished and just famished, and Mother is here to serve you everything. Hello, hi. I'm just so excited to be back, you guys. I've missed my dishers and doing this so much. Oh my God, it has felt like an eternity, but we just had to get through the rest of 2025. 2025, I was like, we just got to get through her, and we did. Happy New Year, and we're literally so fucking back, you guys. I've got the editor in the booth with me. We're literally here, new setup, new hair, what? For listeners, if you're just listening, if you're not tuned in, which you might not even be tuned in because this is new for us. We're going to see, but I am so excited to be back, you guys. There's so much we have to talk about. This is basically going to be a little recap of the things that we missed together from 2025, because at the end of the day, I'm Black, and this, I run on CPT, and if you don't know, that's colored people time. So we're just going to do a little recap of some of the things that we missed that I've been dying to talk to y'all about. Oh my gosh. But first, before we get into the recap, there are a couple things that have happened in the new year that I'm like, what is going on? The biggest is the mom talk. Oh, wait, no. I said mom talk. I meant the mom group from Ashley Tisdale's Cut article. If you don't know about this, so Ashley Tisdale wrote an article for The Cut talking about her toxic mom group that iced her out and she left. And honey, since this article has come out, it has been drama like mom talk, hence the comparison in my mind, because they're like birds of a feather. So basically, she wrote an article for The Cut, and she was talking about how this mom group was super toxic, felt like high school again, they iced her out, so she left them. And for the internet sleuths, the people who are way too online, they connected the dots and said, wait a minute, you mean your famous Hollywood friend group, including Mandy Moore and Meghan Trainor and the People's Princess Hilary Duff? What? That doesn't seem like that's something that could be. And then more sleuthing came out. And I mean, I don't know if you guys picked up on it, but I think that Miss Ashley Tisdale French has gone to the dark side. I think she is a MAGA mommy. And, you know, after the Charlie Kirk assassination happened, she wore like a red shirt and was like, glad I can know who my real friends are. And it just was giving, you're on the wrong side of history. But the gag is Hilary Duff. So Hilary and Hilary have been estranged for a few years because Hilary is also on the dark side, unfortunately. And Miss Hilary is not about that life at all. She knows where her fans are and just like how to be a good person. And if you know, if you have listened to the pod before, you've heard me talk about Matthew Coma, aka Hillary's husband. And he's like such a pivotal part of my adolescence because I grew up with like his first band. And it was like the first concert that I like left the town I'm from to see, and like cross state lines to see his band. So I know he's a good guy. It wasn't like some weird Jared Leto shit. Like, he didn't make me feel uncomfortable as a kid or any of my friends. Like, I know he's a good guy. And sure, people can change, but I just feel in my spirit that they're good people. And Ashley Tisdale has slowly, I don't know, she's slowly been giving me those vibes. So this article comes out and then Haley likes it. So just context clues, I'm like, one of these things is not like the other. So just wanted to put that on your radar. If y'all didn't know about that, I'm sure most likely if you're listening to me in this podcast, you probably do, or you're listening to get the information. If you've been in the dark for the last little bit without me, I'm so sorry, but I'm here to, like I said, feed you. Don't worry. I'm here to get you fed. We've got to hit all the food groups, okay? So that's something that really geeked me out a lot. Another thing, Kyla Mauricio, apparently canoodling Kyle Richards from Real Housewives of Beverly Hills and her estranged husband, Mauricio Umansky, they've been cuddled up since their daughter's wedding. And I mean, of course, your daughter just got married, your first daughter to get married. You're like, wow, look at this beautiful person that we made together. And I've always had hope that she needed to be a little gay. She needed to test those waters. And he needed to wake up a little bit. And he got his little young punani, like his daughter said, dad's being a hoe. But I hope that they get it together. That brought me some joy that they're canoodling and ass spin at Kate Hudson's holiday party. Oh, to be a fly on the wall. Oh my God, I live. Another canoodling, Alex Earl and Tom Brady on the Nina Dobrev yacht. Well, Nina Dobrev had the party. And I'm like, I love that. It's like Nina Dobrev, fucking Miles Teller and his wife, Cord Overstreet. Don't know how he got that invite, but I love that for him. He said, I'll be there because, like, I got invited, you know. He's like that friend that you invite just to, like, put it out there that always shows up. You're like, oh, yeah, I forgot I invited you. And they're the first person there. Cord was probably driving the boat. Okay, let's be real. Anyway, apparently Tom Brady and Alex Earl are vibing. And I mean, if you look up the picture, it's so funny because it's like her touching the small of his back. And in his back pocket is his phone with the flashlight on. Grandpa, turn a flashlight off your phone. Your butt is glowing. It's so weird. But, you know, I love that for her. Like, she should have won Dancing with the Stars. And maybe she'll be a trophy wife or something. I good for her. I love that. She didn't get the trophy, but maybe she'll become the trophy. Ooh, clock it. Ooh, I hate that. Okay, so those are just a few things that have happened so far in the year that I just wanted to highlight. But we're going to get into some things that I've been literally foaming at the mouth over to talk to you guys about. And I think you already know what the number one is. It's about a couple guys hitting the pucks down to fuck. Heated rivalry. Oh my God. Oh God, man. What has it been said? It's already all been said before, but like this show has literally altered my brain chemistry. I've been saying I am taking the I'm coming to the cottage energy into this year. 2026 is I'm coming to the cottage. That is what I'm manifesting in every way, shape, and form. Whether that's Ilya, that energy of just like, I'm coming, I'm getting it. Or the love. Imagine an alien. Yeah. You can come to the cottage. You can come to the crib. You can come to the job. You can come in me. You Yeah, it's you guys, it's just so fucking good. I mean, I know you already know that. Like, everyone, I feel like anyone with a pulse and a mind loves it, because it's just, there's so many reasons why it's so amazing. I feel like, first thing, it's about gay love, and it's not like someone dies of HIV or someone, you know, has some really traumatic, like, sure, there's trauma that happens to them, but it's not anything that's like really earth shattering, like a, you know, normal hearts, fellow travelers, like where it's just, oh, gut wrenching, you know, like it's really tender. It's so sweet. And another thing, especially the women, my ladies, we are obsessed. I mean, first of all, it was written by a woman. So there you go. Women just do it better. We get the job done. Okay. Clock it. But also, it represents, men are really not that great right now. Like, there's some that are really great and awesome and kind, but for the most part, it's real slim pickings for the good, good guys. And to see men who are so fucking hot be so open and vulnerable and real and talk about their feelings and be like tender with each other, and fuck, it is like the best kind of porn that there could be, because it's emotional stakes. But it's just really nice to see men be men, but also be vulnerable and cute and sweet and kind. Oh my god, it's just like, oh man. And like I said, it doesn't help that they're so good on the eyes. I mean, there's literally not one unattractive person on the show. Even the parents, like, would hit. Everyone is so hot. Also, all the female characters on that show are amazing. I love them. The best friends, the mom, like, they all are so supportive and great. I love Ilya and Shane, but I mean, Scott and Kip. Oh, well, because Scott is like everything I want in a man. Like, he just like, whoa. Also, the fact that he's the guy from fucking Schitt's Creek. Hello, of course, of course. I mean, talk about Schitt's Creek. This is the best Canadian export since Schitt's Creek. Truly, it is just everything. But Scott and Kip, I don't know if it's like just, oh, their story really, you know, I just think of being the girl in the coffee shop, like, hey, with making your smoothie. And then it's like, oh, wow. Like, he came back. I'm his good luck charm. Oh, this is a thing. Wow. Then being the girl in the stadium, like in the bleachers, and he's looking at you. Oh, oh, I just love their story so much. It's just so good. I got the books. I'm like in it. I'm like in it. I'm like, I have to know what's going on. So I am so locked in, obsessed. Speaking of getting the books, Welcome to Derry. Hello. Did anyone else watch it? Please tell me y'all watched it, because it really blew me away. The lore that they built with that show, with like the Stephen King universe, is really fucking incredible. It is so good. The performances of these kids, Richie forever. I can't even talk about Richie because I'll literally start fucking crying. Like, cut the cameras, dead ass. I love that little boy. I am so obsessed. I started reading it because I was like, I have to know the lore of everything. I need to know about this, the whole, all of Derry, as much as, you know, the movies and the show illuminated so much. I'm like, I need to know every single detail, especially for season two. I won't talk too much about it if you haven't watched it, but you need to fucking watch it if you haven't, you guys. You know, I'm not gonna steer you wrong. And trust, it is that good. It is so, oh God, it's just so amazing. It's one of the best, like that season finale is one of the best ones I've seen all year. It was incredible. So, so good. And like I said, the lore that they built is just chef's kiss. That really, honestly, my HBO Sundays, I miss already because we have Welcome to Derry, I Love LA, which I actually did really enjoy. It took a little bit for me to like get into it, but now I love it. And I'm like, that was another finale. I was like, no, oh my God. But I love Rachel Sennett and the cast. It's just so Odessa. Let's talk about Odessa. That, yeah, she could get it. She could get it. Again, you could come to the cottage. You could come to the crib. You could come to the job. I don't know if you could come at me, but like, we can figure something out because like, she's bad. She's so bad. It was really fun. And then the chair company, I mean, Tim Robinson is like one of my favorite people on earth. I just get his weird ass so much. And that show is so insane. It's so crazy. And I loved every minute of it. And just the way it ended, I just was like, sometimes that show would have me as stressed as Welcome to Derry. Like, sometimes I would finish it and be like, well, that wasn't a palate cleanser because I'm still stressed. What's going on with these fucking chairs? What's going on with these chairs? It's so good. So, if you haven't gotten into it, highly recommend because those are tea. Another thing that had me in a chokehold with a lot of lore, Stranger Things. She's gone. And I miss it already. I won't go too into what happened. Spoilers, just in case you haven't watched it. I am so grateful that they released the finale in the theater because I got to experience that in the movie theater. And first off, I've never seen the theater that packed. It reminded me of the Harry Potter days and the Twilight days. And I just like loved being around everyone with their Hellfire shirts and all the merch and just like a bunch of nerds uniting to have this communal experience. Like, that's why I go to the movies, you know? And it was so special. I cried. Like, cried. The roof scene. Stop. Stop. The last scene, the show started with D&D and it ended with D&D, and that's exactly like such a perfect note. We're recording this, and I don't know if you were in the Conformity Gate. Everybody thought they had another episode. And, you know, listen, honey, I have been around since Game of Thrones. I saw what happened there. We wanted that. We didn't get it. And I understand we wanted more. But me personally, I'm content with how it ended. Because not only did it give us agency to come up with our own ending, whether you want to believe that that happened, but I like that it gave you that agency, you know, to make your own conclusions of what happened, you know? Something I feel people who are upset about the way it ended, this show is a representation of the 80s, right? And if you think about some of the great things from the 80s, if you think about Indiana Jones or Stand By Me or The Goonies, all of them made it to the end. They all got the treasure at the end, and they lived happily ever after. And this show is the representation of that. So I'm content with that ending. I think we're all just like so used to the Game of Thrones and the Harry Potters and the, you know, Avengers, where like people are getting fucking slaughtered and murdered, and the people that we love, we see them die and we're like, oh my God, why? Like, put your hands up if you survived the Red Wedding. Hello. Like, that's what we're conditioned to, that it's weird when it doesn't happen. Like, I was talking to Megan about it and being like, wow, this is the first show I've watched in so long where every key character from season one makes it all the way to the end. That is not a comedy show, you know? And I just appreciate that. And I feel like we've lost that, like, specialness and representation of, like, sometimes the good guys do finish okay. They have a good life. And I love that. So as much as, like, Conformity Gate, I would have lived for another episode. I mean, we're getting a documentary. At least there's that, you know? But it's not going to happen. I hate to break it to you. And there was like a 1% chance, but I was like, the people who are going so in on it, it's either like, we are the smartest fans that have ever existed, that we cracked it, or it's giving the people who thought the rapture was coming last year. You know, and that's okay. That's okay. It's fine. Take it with a grain of salt. And, you know, I feel like they should get all their flowers, because it's 10 years of our lives that we witnessed them grow up. And it's really a beautiful thing. And I'm A-okay. I'm content with how it ended. I really am. And speaking of getting flowers, you know what time it is. It's award season. Like Moira Rose says, my favorite season, award season. And it started off last week with the Critics' Choice Awards. And I'm happy. I'm content with that. You know, we had Jacob Elordi, won for Supporting Actor. And I mean, he is so incredible in Frankenstein. Like, I saw it, I was like, wow, his physicality, the way he emotes, is really a beautiful thing. So kudos to him. I love that for Jacob. Jesse Buckley won for Hamnet. And I mean, Hamnet. Oh my God. It is so beautiful. Such a wonderful movie of just grief and loss and art, and how art can really save you and also pay tribute to the ones that you've lost. I mean, the last 20 minutes of that fucking movie, weeping. I can't remember the last time I cried like that at a movie theater. Like, snot crying, like, had to sit till the lights came on to collect myself, because I was like, I can't go out there. They're gonna be like, are you okay? Like, did something happen? I'm going to be like, yeah, something happened. I just saw fucking Hamnet. Like, what do you mean? So, I mean, I would follow her to the ends of the earth. I love Jesse Buckley, not only as a performer and an artist, but just as a person. She seems so fucking cool. I love her. That's my kind of bitch. I fuck with her. I will say, we'll see with awards, I don't know, because I also saw, well, you guys know I live at the movie theater, and I saw If I Had Legs, I'd Kick You, and Rose Byrne is incredible. Like, this movie is so amazing. It was such a sleeper. Like, it's definitely going under the radar, but her performance is one of a kind. She is just one of those people that can literally do everything, and I love her a lot. So I feel like it's gonna be between Jesse and Rose. It's going to be like a ping pong match of like who's going to get it. Speaking of ping pong match. So you guys know I live at the movie theater. And a fun fact about me is I actually collect movie cups and popcorn buckets. I have a pretty sick collection, if I do say so myself. And I was there. I made sure to get my fucking collectible ping pong baby. And Marty Supreme is amazing. It's really good. Timothy is, I mean, he's going for it. He's going for it. And I am really impressed with him. I mean, December's kind of Timmy's month, if you really think about it. Every December, the last 3 years, he's had a big movie. Whether it's Wonka, Complete Unknown, and now Marty Supreme. Like, he is that guy. And I will be gagged, though. Well, first off, him thanking his partner of 3 years, the foundation, he'd be nowhere without her. I mean, what? That's crazy. That's wild. And you know, for the longest time, for the last three years, I have been wrecking my brain with like, how can someone who played Paul Atreides and Bob Dylan be with someone like Kylie Jenner? Like, I just, it's just, it's been really, because I've, if you know me, how long have I been talking about, since Lady Bird, I have been like, who is this guy? He's going to be something. So I've been down for a long time for Mr. Chalamet, okay? Like, if Club Chalamet wasn't a thing, are we sure it's her who's running the account? No, just kidding. But I've been down because I know he's so talented. And not to say that Kylie's not, because, I mean, self-made billionaire slay, but also privileged. And I've just been trying to rack my brain of like, I don't know how someone playing Bob Dylan could be with someone like her in the sense. And when I say her, I mean just almost like what she represents, you know? And I've just been like, what? Like, it's not clocking to me how someone like that could be with someone like that. But then I think, and I go back in my pop culture Rolodex of a brain, and I go, oh, well, his first girlfriend was Madonna's daughter, Lourdes. And then he did date Lily Rose Depp for a few years. So it does make sense that he's with Kylie. And also, I mean, Kylie has had her black babies. Let's be real, okay? They all have had their black kids, all right? And now that, you know who is in office, it's not really fashionable to be with the black partner. And Timmy, love him, but it's also a little appropriation. So it's like, oh, I get it. He's so talented nonetheless. Like, he eats. I'll give him his flowers because homeboy can act. But when I see them on the red carpet in the matching orange, it's truly a car crash I can't look away from. And I'm like, I don't understand. And then I have to tell myself, like, appropriation, you know, like, for both of them. Because Timmy, he could be with the black girl. He was with Taylor Russell for a second. He was flirting with Kiki Palmer at that one Met Gala when she was interviewing him. Timmy is a little bit, especially Little Timmy. Y'all know Little Timmy with the rapping. Everybody thought he was that English rapper. He just did that song talking about her. So she's like, well, I'm not with the black man, but he's a little bit of a wigger. So let's see. Like, you know, he could still get it. And I mean, he is hot. Like, yes. If you're into that sort of wiry beanpole thing, which, yes, I am. And she is, too. I mean, Travis Scott is also a beanpole, wiry kind of guy. But, yeah, I just have to, like, remind myself of that, because I really do be, like, racking my brain of, like, how does this happen? I don't understand. I don't understand. And if he wins an Oscar with a Jenner or Kardashian, that's really going to, like, talk about wreck my brain. I don't even know. I don't know. And who knows if he'll get it. I personally, here's my thing. So I think it should be Michael B. Jordan. A, because he's the only person to be nominated for two roles since 1944. And back then, the person who played two things in a movie was nominated for actor and supporting actor before they changed the rules and everything. And if you think about it, he technically played three people, because he played Smoke and Stack and a vampire. So just saying, like, what he did technically is a feat in itself. And also, Leo was remarkable in one battle after another. And not to say that Timmy isn't. I think if anything, if Timmy does win, I think it's more so about them wanting to put younger people to watch these award shows. It'll get younger people. Like, after Timmy thanked Kylie, that was all everybody was talking about the next day. Like, who watches the Critics' Choice Awards? Nobody, but maybe they will now if shit like that happens, you know? So I could see him winning for them just trying to, like, publicize it, but I don't know if I would personally vote for that just off of, like, technical acting ability. But that's my two cents. That's what I'm gonna say. But some of my favorite movies that I saw last year, Sinners is still number one, still my number one. Still, it's in my letterbox, like, four. That movie changed my life, and I just love Ryan Coogler so much and everything he does. I just, 10 out of 10. Then number two is One Battle. One Battle After Another is everything. It's so great. I love PTA, Paul Thomas Anderson. So good. Number three, No Other Choice. Y'all, Park Chan-wook, who did Old Boy and Handmaiden. This movie is so fucking good. Oh my god, it really had me gagged, gooped, shook, rocked, speechless, laughing, clutching my pearls. It's so, so good. And I think it's going to be a sitter situation where it's going to come out of the woodwork. People are talking about it because it's so good. Oh my god. Weapons. I also think Amy Madigan is gonna win for Gladys. And I am so, I have, oh my god, full body chills. Full body chills. Because I, first off, what that does for horror. We were so close with The Substance last year with Demi Moore. We were so close. Just what this is going to do for horror, just being represented and taken seriously by award shows in the Academy. So major. In her speech, she won the Critics' Choice Award for Best Supporting Actress. And she's like, I thought you guys would like Gladys, but you love her. And we love her. Can't wait for the spinoff. Obsessed. And then Begonia. Love Begonia. I talk about following someone, Emma Stone, my fellow Scorpio queen. I will follow you. You and Jesse, take the lead. I'm right behind you. For real. I love her. And Jesse, too. I can't talk about Jesse Plemons because I love him so much. And, like, if you watched Friday Night Lights when it was on, and to see the evolution of him, it's nothing short of incredible. And he, I wish he got more flowers for that performance, because he was amazing in that. And Yorgos Lanthimos is just, he's my kind of director. I love him. I love his sense of humor, the way he directs and the way his mind works. I just appreciate him so much. And then I'd say Hamnet, Train Dreams. So I was not expecting Train Dreams to be hit me like that. Oh my God, it's on Netflix. It is so good. Joel Edgerton, Felicity Jones. It is heartbreaking and truly one of the most beautifully filmed movies. If you are into like cinematography and all that, it is just a gorgeous movie. And Marty Supreme, those are some of my favorites. I haven't seen everything on my list yet. I still got to see The Secret Agent. It Was Just an Accident. Also, K-Pop Demon Hunters. Love her. Hello. Love her so much. It's just 2025 was such a great year at the movies. This year, you guys, if you thought 2025 was the year of the movies, 2026 is going to, talk about I'm coming to the cottage. I'm going to the movies. I'm going to the movies. Honey, we have so many good, I'm going to be broke. Well, not really, because I'm a Regal Unlimited girly, but I'm going to be at the movies all the fucking time. This is such a great year for movies. I am so excited. I mean, we've got, what, 5 Zendaya movies, 6 Anne Hathaway movies, 3 Robert Pattinson movies. Like, we are so fucking back. Oh my God, what a time to be alive. Truly, I can't wait. And we're going to get into those too. I might have to do a whole episode just on like the most anticipated movies, because it really is insane this year. If you guys want that, let me know. Even if you don't, I'm probably going to do it anyway, because I want to do it because I'm so excited. And it's just going to be so great, you guys. I'm so excited for this year. And I'm excited for this podcast. And I'm excited for you dishers out there, because we're back. We're so back. We're so full. I don't know if you guys, I'm stuffed. Well, I wouldn't say stuffed. I'd say I'm satisfied. But we're just getting started. We are coming back stronger, better than ever here at The Dish. We're going to have so much content. You guys are truly going to be over. Oh, you're going to be like, oh my God, I need to, oh, I'm so stuffed too. Well, that's too damn bad. Because you're going to keep getting it. You're going to keep getting it, baby. You're going to get it from The Dish, honey. And I can't wait. I can't wait to show you all the fun things we have in store for you guys. And I love y'all. I've missed you guys. Thank you for your support and for listening and being a part of this cute little world that we've got. And I'll be back very soon. I'll see you then. Stay fed.